Okay, so today is Govardhan Puja. We're live from Giriraj. And so we're going to have a class this morning, and then we're going to be broadcasting later on for all of you from the Vani Vihari Temple near Kushima Sarovara. So first we'll chant Vaidvatamana. Hope everyone remembers how to chant it. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihade
Thank you.
Paramahansa Parapadakacharya, all Siddhata Siddhashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Savaya Charanana Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Maharishila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Iskan Founder Acharya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Siddharadas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Se Gohoshi Krishna Chaitanya, Rabba Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shibhasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopata Sayam Kunrata Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Ki Jai, Bhajaram Kijai, Vidipdam Kijai, Jagadavasami Kijai, Yuvanamai Kijai, Shimani Kalasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaura Premananda Kijai. All glorious, he assembled the bhaktis. All glorious, he assembled the bhaktis. All glorious, he assembled the bhaktis. All glorious, the Shri Guru Gauranga Shilpopat Kijai. Fourth class, we'd like to welcome everybody who's joining us. We got Ripati Nandana from New Zealand, Divyanatai Leela from the United States, Leela Shakti from the United States, Nav Kishori from Australia, Vrindavan Vilasini from New Zealand, Nav Kishori, Divyanatai Leela Sham from the United States, Madhu Priti, Radharani from New Zealand, Goshal Manoj Singh, Manoj Dutt. Okay, so we're going to read today from the... This today, of course, is Govardhan Puja Day, and we're here at Govardhan. And our main program is going to be 3 hours from now, those of you who want to sign in, 3 hours, which is 10 o'clock Indian time, Indian Standard Time, and that will be at the Banabihari Temple, right on the banks of Kushma Sarovar. So that would be Abhishek, Kirtan, and Prasadam. Those of you who are online can eat Prasadam with the devotees. So today we're going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 24th chapter, text 25. So Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Also we have Shikhat Singh from Melbourne watching us. Okay. So I guess you don't have it written down, so I'll just read the Sanskrit and then we'll do the word by word translations. Atasmat gavam brahmandanam adres charavyatam makaha ya indrayagya sambaras thairayam sadyatam makaha. So you can repeat. Tasmat. Therefore. Gavam. Of the cows. Brahmananam, of the Brahmanas, Adrahe, and of the hill Govardhan, cha, also, Arabhyutam, let it begin, Makaha, the sacrifice, yea, which. Indrayaga, for the sacrifice to Indra, Sambharaga, the ingredients, Thai, by them, Ayam, this, Sajatam, may it be carried out, Makaha, the sacrifice. So translation. Therefore, may a sacrifice for the pleasure of the cows, the brahmanas, and Govardhan Hill begin. With all the paraphernalia collected for worshipping Indra, let this sacrifice be performed instead. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Lord Krishna is famous as Go Brahmana Hita, the The well-wishing friend of the cows and the brahmanas, Lord Krishna specifically included the local brahmanas in his proposal because he is always devoted to those who are devoted to the godly Vedic culture. Purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The blessings of the brahmanas give directly perceivable results to us, therefore we should worship them as well as the cows and Govardhan. Having convinced Nanda and others, Krishna speaks this verse, let us perform this sacrifice using the ingredients meant for Indra, Thambara. Purport by Srila Jiva Goswami. Since the cows are our sustenance, we should perform sacrifice for them. Brahmanas were not mentioned in the previous statements, but are mentioned here since they are part of the livelihood for all classes. The brahmanas are the chief varna because they arose from the head of the Lord. They are the senior varna. They have knowledge of the Vedas, and they give dharma to the other varnas, Manu Smriti. The forests were mentioned as livelihood previously, but are not mentioned here because they are not famous as a devata. Thus the mountain takes prominence. Skanda Purana says, Aho Vrindavanam Ramyam Yatra Govardhan O Giriki. Vrindavan is beautiful with Govardhan Mountain. Only one sacrifice instead of three is mentioned because one serves all three. Padravyena Giri Vijan. They presented offerings to Govardhan Hill and the Brahmanas with reverential respect. Yathyatri Goldvija Makam Basudeva Prajotitaha Yathavadaya Te Gopa Sahakrishna Vrajam Yayahu. The members of the coward community, this is all the purport by Srila Jiva Goswami. The members of the coward community, having thus been inspired by Vasudeva to properly execute the sacrifice to Govardhan Hill, the cows, and the brahmanas, returned with Krishna to their village Braj. However, with the words Krishna's Tvanantamam Rupam, Krishna assumed a form non-different from himself, Govardhan is glorified and considered non-different from Krishna. This is Jiva Goswami. Thus, Govardhan is the chief object of worship. Although there are many mountains in Vrindavan, such as Nandishvara, and the eight peaks, such as Varshana, Dhavalagiri, and so Gandhika, Govardhan is the chief as understood from the meaning of its name, Increaser of Cows. By mentioning Govardhan among the mountains in the fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, 19th chapter, text 16, it is also shown to be the principal mountain, the basis of the other mountains of Braj. It is also famous in worship and local scriptures. It is famous for the festival in which people offer piles of food in front of it at various places, even before Krishna lifted it with his hand. It is mentioned also because of being situated at the front of Vrindavan and being very close. The worship should be performed with materials meant for Indra's sacrifice, since Indra's worship was unnecessary because the devatas were useless in supplying livelihood. In using the material of Indra's sacrifice, there would be no extra labor in gathering materials. This would cause even more anger in Indra. This would produce maintenance of traditional dharma. This would be no different from previous actions, since only unsuitable traditions were rejected, while suitable traditions would be maintained. Okay, and then there's the purport by Sanatana Goswami. The brahmanas are considered like Vishnu and thus worshipped. Otherwise, they should not be worshipped, since devata worship has been rejected. And without them, the sacrifice could not be accomplished. The mountain is Govardhan since it was the chief mountain, and since worship of Govardhan is approved by scriptures and local custom, it should be worshipped before lifting it. Its name was not mentioned because it was so famous or because it was so close, it would mean no other mountain. The ingredients for Indra's sacrifice should be used to show that Indra was not necessary since the devatas were useless and because there was no effort required to gather materials. This would further enrage Indra since it was an ancient local custom, because here we're talking about customs or rituals. Since at the time of worshiping the object of worship, they should use the items brought for that purpose and not divert the usage. And on giving up Indra's worship without proper discrimination, it was improper to worship another person, even though qualified. Rejection of Indra was done without consideration, like sheep following a lead sheep into the river. Gada, Vika, Pravaha, Nyaya. So very interesting purports by these different acharyas. So Om Gana Tumadanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshu, Unmiditan, Unmitasma, Yishivade Maha. So there's many purposes for Krishna to lift the Govardhan Hill and the Govardhan Puja sacrifice. And first of all, we should understand Govardhan comes from the spiritual world. And before Krishna appeared in this world, he spoke to Srimati Radharani. And he said to her that, I want you to come down to this world too. And Srimati Radharani replied that, I will not come down to this world unless there is the Jamuna River and Govardhan and Braj. And so Krishna said, that's right, it's already been arranged. And so Govardhan had already been arranged here. And of course, there's that whole story, which I'm not going to tell now, about Pulash Jamuni carrying Govardhan and then putting Govardhan down. And of course, there's also the story of Hanuman doing a similar thing. So there's two stories in the Puranas that Hanuman also was carrying Govardhan to help make the bridge to Lanka. And then he was told by Ram, put it down here at Braj. So, in any case, so Govardhan has come from the spiritual world. And so Krishna is doing different things with his Govardhan Puja sacrifice. First of all, he's showing his pastimes so the people get attracted to them. As Prabhupada mentions, that if Krishna did not manifest his pastimes, then people would be left to their imaginations. Iconoclasm. They would be left to actually project their particular understanding. That's called also anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism means that because one sees things a certain way, let's say it's Sanskrit, another way of saying that is Atmavat Manyate Jagat. Because we see things in a certain way, we think that God or the spiritual world should be like that too. There was one pre-Socratic philosopher who said, basically based on this anthropomorphic conception, that if horses had God, he would look like a horse. And, you know, if people in Africa had God, they would look black and have a snub nose, you know, like the nose like the African people have. And that's not a criticism of African people. It's just that generally people project their own conception. Just like you see in Europe, when they have a picture of Jesus Christ, how do they depict him? They depict him with blonde hair and blue eyes. Now, Jesus Christ did not have blonde hair and blue eyes. Jesus Christ was Semitic. Semitic means he came from the Middle East. So you very rarely, you don't see people who are actually born or the genetically purest race in the Middle East with blonde hair and blue eyes. You see people with dark hair and brown eyes or black eyes. So that was Jesus Christ. But people in Europe, you know, with their whole conception, you know, the blonde is good, you know, because they like blonde ladies, I guess. Then they depict Jesus Christ, isn't it? I mean, somehow or other, you know, blonde people are considered higher. So they depict Jesus Christ like that, having blonde hair and blue eyes, but he wasn't like that. He was actually quite Semitic. You know, his darker skin, you know, pretty much darker skin, you know, like myself, not real dark, but something like this, because my family's from a Semitic background, too, and curly hair, like I have. You know, I'm not saying I look like Jesus Christ. So people would project their own understanding of God. So Krishna comes down to show what he's actually like. People get attracted to him so they can write books about him. And then we can understand what God looks like so we can meditate and love him. Like Prabhupada said, in order to love someone, you have to know them. So that's one big reason that Krishna does all these amazing pastimes, to attract us. And Krishna, of course, has his own esoteric reasons. He enjoys different rasas. Krishna's called rasagya. Rasagya means the knower of the different rasas. And not only the five different rasas, but the seven indirect rasas. And you see these fully exhibited in Krishna's pastimes on the earth. Like, for example, when Indra was attacking the residents of Vrindavan, trying to kill them, then there was some fear. It actually had some fear. Krishna didn't have any fear. So that's one of the indirect rasas. Fear. And then chivalry is one of things. And chivalrous, Krishna was extremely chivalrous in lifting Govardhan Hill. It's a very chivalrous activity. You know, you're saving everybody. Just like in the Western world, the typical example of chivalry is when Sir Walter Raleigh, I don't know if you know this example, the Queen of England was crossing the road and Sir Walter Raleigh put his cape down to protect her from getting her feet wet. That's like chivalrous. So Krishna's the ultimate chivalrous person because he picks up a whole hill to protect his residence of Vrindavan. It's another reason. Other reasons are to bring the demigods down to earth. What does it mean down to earth? Not in a literal sense, in a figurative sense. That to teach the demigods that the purpose of life is not to enjoy things. Because Indra and most of the demigods, they become so enraptured in their material enjoyment, which is a very high standard, that they forget to worship Krishna. Even though they're devotees, but because of their opulence, they forget. So Krishna has all these interesting arrangements to help them remember who they are and bring them down. When I say bring them down to earth, it means bring them to the standpoint of humility. And one of the arrangements is, you know, teaching them a lesson like you taught Lord Brahma the lesson when he stole the cow boys and the calves, and he taught Indra the lesson. And Krishna also teaches lessons by arranging for demons. We were talking about this in Australia and New Zealand recently, that the purpose of demons, as far as the devotees are concerned, is to keep them Krishna conscious. You know, we need demons. They're an absolute necessity. Otherwise, if there's not opposition, if there's not problems, then why will we surrender to Krishna? Like if every day you're eating your sweets in the temple and you never get a stomach ache and you never get sick and your guru never tells, the guru's not a demon, obviously, but if the guru never tells you, you're attached to your tongue and then you just go on, you're on la-la land. You know, completely enamored with this material world. So therefore, you know, Krishna arranges when we try to enjoy our senses. Krishna arranges the threefold miseries. Krishna arranges the guru to tell you the material world is miserable. Enjoyment of your stomach and tongue is not the goal of life. So Krishna arranges all these things, and they give us a little bit of pain. Even actually, the guru's words are cutting sometimes. So we're meant to have a little pain. So Krishna, in this pastime, Krishna is giving Indra a lot of... He was experiencing pain in the beginning. Because when one is very attached to his opulence, and is very attached to being worshipped, then, as we were hearing last night in the Manashiksha, when you contemplate something, you become attached to it. When you become attached, you become lusty. When you become lusty and your lust is not fulfilled, you get angry. So Indra's attachment and lust was to be worshipped. You know, he thought, you know, I'm the king of the hill. Not king of the hill, but king of heaven. He is king of heaven. And he's used to having people worship him. So this is a very dangerous situation when people are worshipping you. In fact, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says that the basically one of the causes of anarthas is the byproducts of bhakti, which indicates when someone who's very advanced, they get respected or worshipped, and that gives them more anarthas. So you see that in Indra. He's getting more and more anarthas when being worshipped, and then when he doesn't get worshipped, he gets angry. It's like a guru who doesn't get his daily guru puja gets angry at the disciples. You know, where's my guru puja today? It's important to pronounce guru puja properly. If you pronounce it guru puja, it means the guru's stool. So anyway, so most devotees mispronounce it, especially the Hindi-speaking devotees. You understand, the Hindi-speaking devotees, they're not accustomed to utilizing the A at the end of the word. So they say, Guru Pooj. That's the guru's stool. Anyway, so the Guru Puja is the word. And so let's say the guru gets like, where's my Guru Puja? I'm just not feeling satisfied today because I didn't get my worship. So this is a great danger. So Indra is getting worshipped. Not only getting worshipped, he has all these like beautiful girls dancing for him every day. I mean, quite a scenario, isn't it? The demigods, they worship him. The human beings, they worship him. And you got all these upstarts doing Bollywood dances for him every day. And he's just thinking, you know, I'm just really a cat's meow, you know, whatever they think, whatever metaphor they use in the heavenly planet. I'm the cynosure of all eyes. And so Krishna just, for his devotees, he brings them back down to earth in a figurative sense, you know, brings them down to humility. And then they're able to just take shelter of him. Because we forget often when we have too much opulence, janmaishwarya shudasya shibir, you know, let's say we have a good birth, let's say we have too much intelligence, a lot of intelligence, let's say we have some bodily beauty, just like, you know, you're going to see in a few days a big Bollywood star is going to come here to Govardhan, and we're going to try to cultivate him. For those of you watching online, that's Akshay Kumar. Eat your hearts out. But So you'll see that he's surrounded by the paparazzi because he has some physical beauty, at least. Yeah, actually, the physical beauty, we were listening to a class today, Prabhupada. He was talking about comparing the physical beauty of people today, people of this world, to the mannequins that one sees in a tailor shop or in a store. You know what a mannequin is? Mannequin is like these life-size statues of women that they have. Not models. Models is actually a live person.
Plastic.
But, you know, plastic. Yeah.
In shops.
You know, the clothes, you know, you go to the window shop and you walk by the window and you see, wow, what a beautiful woman. But she's just a piece of plastic. Isn't it? You see some guys like that. Prabhupada was talking about that class this morning. It's very interesting.
Yeah,
so people have this physical beauty. They're surrounded by the paparazzi, you know, the photographers like that. And then they just get very proud. I was with one Bollywood star once and I'm friendly with him. And he had a mustache, and he's twirling his mustache in front of the paparazzi. So Indra definitely has physical beauty. He has many of these attributes, because he's not Bhagavan in the sense that he's not complete in all these attributes. But he gets very proud. Very proud. And Krishna is very kind to his devotees. In the Bhagavatam, he says, Yashaham anagrunami, haris te ye tadadamshanai. That when I especially favor someone, then I take things away. So he never wants to give his devotees, at least those who are aspiring to pure devotional service, something that will damage their Krishna consciousness. I mean, for a Sakama devotee, you know, he gives them a little leeway. But for those who really want pure devotional service, Krishna keeps tightening the screws down. You know what I'm saying? Tightening the screws? No, you don't understand that expression.
Screw the words, drive up.
No. That's an English expression. That means Krishna makes it tougher and tougher.
You're tightening something.
Yeah, Krishna makes it tougher and tougher. For those who want pure Krishna consciousness, I mean, for those who just want to enjoy the material world, you know, let them enjoy it a little bit, you know, let them get to put their faces in the stool a little bit, and then enjoy like you see the dogs, they're eating the stool, the hogs are eating the stool, and the monkeys, they're not eating stool, but they're just monkeys. Anyway, so Krishna's very kind. And actually, that's even why Krishna, if someone doesn't follow very strictly Krishna consciousness, they live in Braj, they take birth as monkeys or hogs in the next life. Because Krishna really gives them a good lesson. You know, previously I was a sannyasi, getting respected by everybody, and, you know, had some girlfriends. And now I have a monkey or a hog. What happened? And then they're up in the trees and watching the actual sannyasis walk by. I used to be like that too. And they got so upset sometimes they pass you right on the head of the sannyasis as they're walking by. Because they said, I used to be like that, why am I not? And they're envious and mischievous. So, anyway, getting back to Indra. So Indra, it's just completely immersed at this particular juncture in his false ego. And Krishna smashes that false ego. And he brings him back to earth, so to speak. And he comes down to earth and he bathes Krishna. and he apologized. But this is, it's not the end. Krishna, it's like, with Indra, it's like a sine wave. You know, he gets smashed, comes back up. I mean, if you read the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll see that every time the demons get more powerful, Indra and the demigods, they go to Vishnu. Then they get more powerful, they forget about Vishnu. And even Indra, like, offends his spiritual master. Then he goes down again. Then he goes up. So that's the problem with material attachments. You're not nishta. You're not steady in devotional service. So anyway, so Krishna's teaching us many things by this Govardhan Puja ceremony. And by worshipping Govardhan, who is non-different from Krishna. And mentions also that he's the best servant of Krishna. Actually, there's a quote. Even Radharani says that. There's a quote from the Bhagavatam where Radharani is speaking. She's saying, Krishna's Govardhan is the best servant. So how do we reconcile Govardhan being Adidas Varya, the best servant, and also Krishna? Well, it's very easy to reconcile. Just understand Balaram's position. Mm-hmm. Balaram is the best servant of Krishna, and he's also not different than Krishna. Advaita Chuta Nadi Ranataram Upam Ajam Purana Purushalam Yopanam Cha. That Balaram serves Krishna as the Singhasana, Balaram serves Krishna as his paraphernalia, all of his paraphernalia, the temple. You know, you always see Sheshanad, who is Balaram, surrounding Krishna, and he's Vishnu Tattva. So that's the understanding of Govardhan. He's Vishnu Tattva, non-different from Krishna, and also he serves Krishna. Krishna serves himself in his various incarnations. Why can't Krishna be his own servant? Isn't it? Like Balaram serving Krishna. Very easy to understand. Doesn't take much intelligence to understand that. Okay, so these are some of the points. We keep class short. We're going to have another class today at Vanabhihari Temple. First there'll be the puja for Govardhan, and then the class, and then prasadam, beginning at 10 o'clock. So we welcome you all to join us. Govinda Mohini is there, Shama Priya, Krishna Priya, Anjani Singh, Ranganath is there, Vaishnavi, she should be here.
They're coming.
I guess she's in a taxi or something on the way. William Ortiz, so many nice Kamlesh Lal from Australia. Denise from Australia too. Welcome, Denise. She's very much attached to chanting the holy day of Vanessa. So, anyway, we'll end class now, and we'll let everybody take a sneak kirtan on our altar before we go to the Govardhan Puja Day. Here's Kiriraj. We'll get a close up. There we go. Hold on. Okay, we'll see everybody in about 3 hours, a little less than 3 hours. Thank you very much. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.